This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:04, it's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy and Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Alan Pogenpool, your country financial agent in Raymond. By Security National Bank, with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. By Kurtz 24-hour heavy and light duty towing in Litchfield. By Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. By the Game Zone Plus in Nokomis. And by Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. Here are the guys. It's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and David Jenkins.
Tobinot, thank you so much, and welcome to Sports Saturday. And Terry, we have got a great show lined up today. My goodness.
This is a program that I've been looking forward to for quite a while. We have Coach Dave Jokic in studio with us. And Dave, good morning, sir. It's a pleasure to have you in studio with us. And it's always great to have you visit, but particularly today, we've got some special things planned. So,
yes, great to be here. And I'll be listening to part of this as well as you will, because we've got some great people coming on, and it'll be good to hear some of the things they've been doing and accomplishing.
I've been promoting this as the State Greats Show, where the Carlinville track program over the years has produced state champions and some great champions of that, and some that are still exceeding our expectations from time to time.
A little small trivia, and then I'll kind of get out of the way. It took till 1995 before Carlinville had a state champion in Class A track. And once Tunde broke the ice, we've had multiple state champions. But I took a list of all the state record holders in Class A, both on the boys and girls side. And Carlinville can now claim 4 state records. That's double the closest school. Two other schools that I've noted have 2 state records. Otherwise, they're all individual schools, and Carlinville is easily leading the way with 4.
So many times we hear a lot of talk in Carlinville about it being a football school, football town, and it is. There's no question about that. But when you sit down and you think about the high caliber level of track athlete that has come out of Carlinville, not just been successful at Carlinville, Dave, but when they leave the area, they're still successful. So, I mean, the quality of the track athlete at Carlinville over time is amazing.
It's quite a precedent to maintain. I'm not sure that it can. You never know. But we have, in the last couple of decades, had some extremely talented athletes.
And we're going to have a chance today to talk to a couple of them. Tunde Ridley and Kelsey Card will be joining us here momentarily on the sports show. And when you start talking about those two athletes specifically, Dave, probably no argument that Tunde, the best male athlete, surely, to come out of Carlinville. And Kelsey Card, she's working her way towards being the best female athlete to ever come out of Carlinville. Your thoughts on that?
Both great athletes, but great persons as well. That's part of why they have achieved what they have. I don't want to compare to other athletes because Carlinville has quite a history in sports, but they certainly have set a great example for future athletes at Carlinville.
And at Carlinville and track, you almost have to take the Tony La Russa method, tied for first.
That's true. That's true. And you know, the legacy of the program spans years. Track is one of those things in Macoupin County where in some other counties it's not quite as impressive, but track competition in Macoupin County alone has always been pretty intense.
Yes, if you looked at previous state champions in Class A in Macoupin County, they came from other schools. Carlinville's reputation came from team championships for decades and decades. It really kind of started with Pat O'Brien back in the late 30s and 40s, who went on to Eastern Illinois and had a fantastic coaching career and now is in the Hall of Fame. And the state track meet is running at O'Brien Stadium.
Yeah, which is a great facility to have the state track and field meet. That's why it'll probably never leave Eastern.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, that's a great facility over there. Dave, when you take a look and you mention the fact that Kelsey and Tunde, great athletes, but it's really their person. As good of athletes as they are and have been, they're even greater people.
Very coachable. Sometimes when you have an extremely talented athlete, they're not good listeners. Both of them early on were great listeners, very coachable, very humble. Even to this day, when I saw the video of Kelsey's personal best throw at California, it was an exaggerated celebration. It was very low-key, and Tunde reflected that same personality.
Dave Yocas joining us in studio, and in theory, we should have on the phone right now Kelsey Card and Tunde Ridley joining us here on Sports Saturday. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, we have it. Can you guys hear us all right?
Yeah.
Great. Terrific, terrific. Well, Kelsey, congratulations on what's happened to you this summer, and are you... are you thinking Olympics here somewhere down the line?
Oh,
come on, let's get right to it, kid.
Here, I can jump in there and answer it for her.
Okay.
She's thinking Olympics.
Tunde, you're serving as her agent this morning, aren't you?
You know, those guys from Wisconsin don't like to step up, so I'm going to go ahead and start it off.
The Big Ten battle.
There you go. Well, we have Coach Jokic in studio with us, and we're just absolutely honored to have you guys along with Coach Jokic on the Sports Saturday program here this morning. And Dave, I think you've got something you'd like to mention about these two athletes, and in particular Tunde to start with.
Yes, this will be an exclusive for WSMI. I've kind of kept it low-key in the media. A lot of people I know in Carmel I've mentioned, but two significant achievements for Tunde. One, he's in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. There's a reason for that. Tonight he will receive an award for the National Masters Athlete of the Year, coming off of a world championship in Brazil last October in the 100 and 200. And correct me if I'm wrong, then you also won the national indoors U.S. championships in your age group in the 60. Am I correct?
The 60 and the 200.
Whoops. See there?
Oh. Yeah, and first time on a 200-meter bank indoor track since college. So it was kind of scary manipulating that second turn, but we got through it.
So that's one significant achievement. The other one I think is monumental, and that's in terms of his new job position. He is now head of fitness and training for the Department of Navy. Yes, you heard me right, the Department of Navy. His offices are located in Washington, D.C. He'll be traveling the world this year to different naval bases, looking at their training, coming back and making adjustments. Just a tremendous achievement. He's at the top of his field, and he's still in his 30s. So that's news for WSMI now to portray to the world. And if any of you folks out there have been wondering what Tunde Ridley's been doing, well, now you know.
There's your answer.
Tunde, what was the interview process like in order to get named as the head trainer for the Navy? This is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was pretty in depth. I mean, it all started out with us going through a MWR accreditation out at the Naval Support Activity Monterey, where I was the director of fitness and sports. And, you know, after about a month and a half and three interviews and flying from California to D.C. and, you know, they're always looking at you and asking a million questions to telephone cons and conferences and this and that. And finally, I was like, man, I was like, so is this, you know, what am I doing here? Because this is like the third or fourth interview. So, I mean, obviously you guys are interested. So what's going on? So it got to that point, but they finally got around, you know, they were beating around the bush and finally got to it. So I'm really excited about it. And like Mr. Jokic said, it's a tremendous opportunity to be able to help the people that support us and protect us all over the world. And just to give back to them is awesome. So I'm really excited about that. And to travel around and visit all the bases, that's going to be pretty cool too.
Will you have your own kind of program that you will bring to the job, or will you kind of go off of what has been done before?
Well, I mean, the thing is, my thing, personally, is just because we've done it that way in the past doesn't make it the best. Mm-hmm. So what I want to do is bring resources and research to the field. And the thing about my position is, yeah, it's the top. Technically, it's the second civilian at CNIC headquarters that oversees fitness. I am the sector head of the fitness department. However, I just can't pop up with a new program and put it out there. It has to go through medical. It has to go through, you know, the CNO and his team. It has to go through so many different hands before it actually gets implemented. Now, the really cool thing is ViewMed actually, in conjunction with CNIC, the organization that I actually work for, have developed the Naval Operational Fitness and Fueling Series. And this is, it comprises of four different systems: operational, there's a strength component, an endurance component, and a sandbag component. And it's amazing. Actually, I was using parts of the pillar prep, the warm-up, the movement prep, last year when I actually competed in Brazil, and I've been implementing more of these skills into my, you know, my warm-ups and my routine, and they're pretty amazing. This was actually developed in conjunction with API, which is now EXO. And I don't know if you guys, with the big NFL draft and that coming up, there is a piece on ESPN about EXO and what they do for the guys trying to make it to the NFL, and these are the same people that we partner with to produce these programs for, you know, our sailors out there. So it's just not me, you know, I'm one of many, but it takes a team to do something this big. So we sit around and we brainstorm and we work in conjunction and we contract and we do some of everything.
Well, I know one of the premises that Coach Jokic has worked off of for years is the fact that it's muscle balance. It's about being able to work all the muscle groups and not getting kind of out of kilter as far as the body is concerned and how it's supposed to work. And I suspect you're going to bring that to the table as well.
Well, you know, it's already there. And I know Kelsey can speak on this too. Like, when you bump up to that next level and you start lifting a certain way, you have to definitely have balance. I call that muscle dysfunction or some kind of dysfunction. And it's funny whenever you do an assessment on somebody, you don't want to use the term, oh, you're dysfunctional, or you have dysfunction. But I like to throw that word out there. You definitely have to be balanced. You know, and as far as running, your hamstrings have to be as strong as your quad. You don't want to bench press all day and develop a nice strong chest without working your back. So there has to be, you know, definitely has to be balanced.
If I'd only known that in 84, Carmville might have had another state trophy because we had an unusually fantastic team depth-wise. And my leading sprinter pulled a hamstring on the first relay exchange of the 4x1 and was not able to run the rest of the meet. And he had high qualification marks in the 100, 200, as well as the 4x2 relay. I just wasn't smart enough back then.
Well, and life is a learning process. I mean, Tunde, once you get into this endeavor here, you're probably going to learn a few things and hopefully be able to share a few things with others.
Oh, of course. I love this environment. It's forever learning. I mean, you know, you always take something out of a meeting, or you always take something out of a webinar or a phone con or even a sports Saturday morning talk show. Somebody's going to take something away from this. And as long as you go in with the open mind, and I think that's the problem today. People go in with their attitude and they think they know everything and they're not open. So as long as you're open, you can always pull something educational out.
And Kelsey Card, Kelsey, let's talk a little bit about muscle balance and that sort of thing. You had to step up. You know, you've really stepped up big time this year at your competition level, setting personal bests at the nationals. This has been quite a year for you.
it was. I was really happy with how it turned out. And I mean, speaking of like muscle bumps and everything, I redshirted the whole year, so that kind of enabled me to train through, and that was maybe why I struggled some like during the normal season, but then it all came together like at the end. So it's, that was something different. Like, yes, you want to do well along the way, but it's just college taught me to have more of like an end goal. So.
Kelsey, what was the redshirt process? How was that approach to you?
Well, we kind of wanted to redshirt outdoors my sophomore year, but then they decided not to. And so then this coming year, I don't know, I just talked to my coach and I really let him know that that was something I really, really was interested in, not only to get an extra year of training, but then to hopefully possibly set up for some good stuff in 2016. Who knows? And so it was a bigger thing than I thought it was. Like, I was thinking more about myself, but it also it affects the whole team versus just myself, because trying to do all Big Tens and scoring and how it all plays out. Anyway, my coach thought about it all and everything, and he had me make sure I could get all my academics so I could stay in undergrad for 5 years. And then one day he told me that I had to prove to him that I could stay good for 5 years, but just work hard for all that time. And so I guess I did, because one day he was just like, okay, you're going to redshirt. So.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that was probably like the beginning of December, whenever he decided.
As a sideline to the listeners that may not be aware, when Kelsey competed at the USA Nationals, we're talking collegiate throwers as well as professional throwers that are Americans. The meet was held at Sacramento, California, and the USA track and field decided to have the shot put at the state capitol grounds. Sacramento is the state capital of California. And if you happen to catch a video, as Kelsey got into the ring, the state capitol was in the background. They hauled in the landing surface, put up the platform. They had more cameras than usual. They had big-time officials all over the place. The crowd was probably one of the biggest crowds they had ever thrown in front of. And some of her competitors melted because that was something brand new that they had not experienced and did not handle it well. Kelsey handled it perfectly, used the energy that was in that arena to produce a national qualifying mark and a personal best. And I would add in one thing. Part of that experience is because she was a multiple sport athlete in high school. She was in a terrific program under Fran Struble in volleyball, a great basketball program with Darren Deneau, and she'd been there, done that. She'd been in pressure situations multiple times, and I think part of that she drew on when she was put in this atmosphere.
Is that true, Kelsey? Does that sound...
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's an incredible environment. But then, I don't know, being at high level in high school and everything, it taught me to sort of have a tunnel vision. I don't know, that's the best way I can describe it, where you just focus on what you have to do and where you have to get it to go. And yes, the crowd is awesome, but just worry about yourself and believe that you can do it.
Kelsey, you mentioned hopefully maybe some big things in 2016. Talk a little bit about the road between now and then.
Losing my voice. Well, I've got 2 years left of college competition now, and so I'll have each season and each year. And I don't know, just keep pushing hard, getting stronger, fine-tuning technique, and kind of seeing, like, watching everybody else where they're at kind of throughout the next 2 years, and hopefully coming out in a good fit.
And if go ahead, Kelsey, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you go. It's okay.
Well, I want to get some feedback from you and Tunde both, and first from you. What's the mental strain? What's the mental preparation side of this thing? We go to work every day and we do our things, but when you're competing at such a high level, how do you get your mind ready for that?
Oh, it's really hard, and I struggled a lot with that this year, earlier in the year. And so, and my coach would just talk to me. He's just like, I know you can do it physically and you're ready, but you just have to believe in yourself and know that you can throw that far, because you can have all the ability in the world, but if you don't believe you can do it, it's not going to go anywhere. You just, I felt like I got stronger by just simplifying and focusing on believing in myself and just having a goal and just worrying about those two things, because I know my coach carries me through my training and I'm doing everything that I can possibly be doing with that, and I just have to know that on the day I've done all the preparation possible and just let it go.
Let the training take over, so to speak.
I thought it was. Yeah. You know you've worked hard up to that point.
And Tunde, you as well, with the mental aspect of the game and the competition?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree with Kelsey. I mean, the mental part is always there, and I think the mental part, we kind of beat ourselves up. And when you're out there on the track or in the ring or on the runway, whatever it might be, on the football field even, you know, we can talk about other sports as well, you go to practice for a reason. You go to practice, you wake up, you sacrifice. I'm not sure what the training is up at Wisconsin, but I know they're training. They have an excellent facility up there. You know, we were training at 4:30 in the morning. We would come out at 2 o'clock. We'd have two-a-days. We'd have all that sacrifice is what you call it. And we sacrifice every day. Some people call it practice, but we sacrifice. So when we do step in that ring or on that runway or on the field, or you strap on whatever equipment you strap on, you can have that confidence that you're ready. And the other thing that I want to add in is personal bests are just history. They're in the past. So whenever you step on that runway or you load into the blocks, all personal bests, they're off. You can do whatever you want to do that day. So if once you talk yourself into, I always call it glory, or I'm always on the edge of glory, once you talk yourself into that and you believe in yourself, anything can happen. And that's how you reach those new heights and those new distances and those new personal bests. Just phase out, focus on yourself, and get it done once you step on the track or in the ring or on the field.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday, but before we do, I know, Dave, you have a very interesting story that Kelsey and Tunde kind of crossed paths in an unlikely spot.
Well, actually, Kelsey was the first to get an inkling that Tunde was going to be doing something new. When Tunde found out that he had the new position with the Department of Navy, part of his traverses to get out to Washington, D.C. was to return back to San Diego. And I think it was a Walmart store that both of you ran into each other. Kelsey was in San Diego competing at the Triton Invitational, and here the two crossed their paths. On the way to history.
The universe is
weird.
Let me
tell you my perspective. All I remember is leaving Walmart and looking up and seeing all these people wearing this red Wisconsin stuff. And I'm like, who do they think they are? And then I made eye contact. I'm like, oh my goodness, okay, I'll give them a pass this time. But next time, it's on.
Kelsey, Tunde, can you stay with us for a few minutes? We need to take care of some business, but we want to continue our conversation in just a moment. Is that okay?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Sports Saturday rolls on right after this.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield has commercial Goodyear tires and complete exhaust and is a Hertz car rental agency. Kurt's crew cab rollback can transport your family and your car. Kurt's 24-hour towing can tow anything from your semi to a motorcycle. And now Kurt's does semi and automotive tires and repair, as well as complete automotive repair. So when you need a tow, remember 324-2400. Kurt's 24-hour towing, behind Denny's in Litchfield.
One thing customers tell us they like best about banking with Real Community Bank is our people. This professional and often personal relationship helps us do our jobs better, more efficiently, and effectively. Not just when it comes to your borrowing money, but also when you need to consider long-term savings and investment needs. So next time you're considering a financial transaction, visit your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, Security National Bank, with locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore, and online at securitynb.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Game Zone Plus in Nokomis has what you're looking for. Game Zone Plus has new and used laptops, tablets, cell phones, video game consoles and controllers, TVs, and a wide variety of electronic accessories. They also buy, sell, trade, and rent video games and DVDs. New releases too. Game Zone Plus also offers expert computer and smartphone service and repair. Remember to shop local. Game Zone Plus in Nokomis. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 7. Saturday 9 to 9. Sunday noon to 6.
And at 9:29, let's take a look at the weather forecast for you, brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sunny skies for today. We'll have a high of around 80, mostly clear for tonight with a low of around 60. Heading into tomorrow, sunny skies, expect a high once again of around 80 degrees. Extended look at the forecast. Monday through Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with a chance of showers on Tuesday evening and Wednesday. We'll have highs in the low 80s. The lows will be around 65 degrees. At 9:30, we have a temperature reading of 72 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues in just a minute.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond. Stay cool this summer with farmer-owned Prairie Farms fruit drinks in orange, grape, lemon, pink lemonade, and fruit punch. And for extra vitamin C, drink 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice, available in convenient plastic pints. And don't forget Prairie Farms sweetened iced tea, very refreshing, and available in gallon jugs and plastic pints for those of us on the go. Stay cool and refreshed this summer, and taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms, farmer-owned.
Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms.
And at 9:31, let's head back now to more Sports Saturday. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and David Jenkins.
What's up, Nat? Thank you very much. Back on Sports Saturday. Coming up at 11 o'clock this morning, we will be live at the A&W restaurant in Litchfield through the noon hour.
You will be live at the A&W
restaurant. Oh, yeah, I will
restaurant.
Be. Yes.
Chomping.
Cheeseburgers, hot dogs, root beer floats.
Fish.
I'm hungry already.
Yes, the sounds of summer. I'll take a large root beer, please.
That's right. So that'll be from 11 to 1 today here on FM 106. Cardinal baseball this afternoon at 2:10 on AM 1540. But, Terry, right now we are talking track and field with some elite athletes.
We have Coach Dave Jokic in studio with us, one of my favorite people to talk to. And we have Kelsey Card and Tunde Rindley joining us online. And as we continue our conversation with these two, I guess, Kelsey, how difficult is it? And Tunde, you can chime in on this. And we talk a lot about college athletes and the fact that, you know, there are academic standards you have to keep. But it's a full-time job not only to be an athlete, but it's also a full-time job to be a student. And how do you put it all together? Kelsey?
Well, first of all, I guess I didn't realize how good of a school Wisconsin is until I got here.
Tunde is just grimacing now. He's got to be.
I'm good. Not even going to comment. You know what, guys? To be honest, I did want to go to Wisconsin, but didn't happen. But they were up there on my list. I'll just put it out there like that.
Okay. But the toil between, you know, full-time job for training, full-time job as a student.
Well, okay. So first of all, they aren't kidding when they say don't skip class. So future advice, always go to class. And so that's probably the hardest part, is missing class for traveling. But, and I'm sure most other schools are like this too, but Wisconsin has a really, really good tutor and like student athlete academic program center. We actually just built a new one. But we have really, really great people that they hire out as tutors, and I have a tutor at least one every semester, if not more. And it's just they help you with what you miss in class, and then just really do one-on-one, which is kind of hard to do in college sometimes. And yes, it is a struggle balance, but you have to be willing to work while you travel and do all that, because we'll have girls like on the planes and buses with their books and laptops everywhere, just studying and making up for lost time.
And Tunde, how about you?
Right, I agree 100%. I mean, almost any school you go to in the Big Ten, it's going to be very challenging academically. But yeah, as an athlete, a lot of people have kind of a misconception that athletes have it easy, when in fact it's the opposite. I remember just at Illinois saying, man, if we could only be a student, it'd be so much easier. Of course, you can just do your academics and not have to worry about it. However,
yeah.
You know, you have your AM lifting or your AM track workout, then you have to go to class all day, then of course you have track practice that's anywhere from 2 to 4 hours, plus you have the academic requirement. I know some of the freshmen have to go to study hall 20 hours a week. We did, until you met a certain GPA. And then there's the community outreach things that you also have to do. So, you know, going to the local high schools, going out to the local community, you know, representing your school from an academic level and, you know, giving back. And that's part of it. And a lot of people think, oh, yeah, you're on a scholarship, it's easier. You just don't have to pay. But it you pay in other ways, trust me. I mean, you go. Like Kelsey said, you travel, you miss class, you have to make it up. It's very hard. And you know what? I don't want to downplay anybody else's academic experience, but I know a student athlete, they come to work and they will work for you. And, you know, being a little bit older, if I see somebody who's a student athlete when they come to work for me, they definitely have the thumbs up for me. So I know what it takes to get there.
I might add for Fighting Illini fans that when Tunde was in school at U of I, it wasn't too much previous to his stay that Illinois developed an academic center for athletes that were state-of-the-art. And Tunde was able to take advantage of that, both in terms of tutors, in terms of computer equipment, in terms of research. He had the best of all possible worlds to take advantage of.
Right. And, you know, as a student, when you're there, though, you don't want to go to that kind of stuff, just to be honest. It was my second year there. They actually developed that center. And before, I mean, it's not all the glamour that people think. We're in the armory upstairs in one of the rooms, and that's what it was, a classroom, and it was the old school tables and desks, and you had to study, and it wasn't the best. So it was amazing, this new center with the computers. And I remember the first time I got to Illinois as a freshman, Tyrone Jones was there, and he was like, man, they got this stuff called email. And I was like, what's email? And he was like, man, it's like the post office, but you don't have to send a stamp. It gets there instantly. And I was like, man, you're crazy. Get out of here. So that's why I first learned about email. But, yeah, we had an amazing academic, and every school does. It's just athletes, like I said, don't want to take advantage of it unless they're made to. And I think, you know, now being older, I got good grades. I was a two-time George Huff Award winner, which is an academic award for student athletes. However, you know, I did enough to get by and stay eligible. And unfortunately, that's the mindset of, I'd say, most people. Once they go to college and as a student athlete, juggling everything, you know, you got to stay eligible. You got to go to practice. You got to do all this stuff. But definitely, the message is definitely take advantage of the resources that you have. I mean, you don't have to be an athlete to use those resources. There's teachers out there to help you, and just take advantage of those type of opportunities.
Tunding, or go ahead.
I wanted to mention another thing about Kelsey at the national championships. She was the only lady who qualified for the championships in both the shot put and the discus. When you reach a certain level of quality, typically specialization takes place. And I thought it very unique at her age to have qualified for both, and then she placed in the top six in both. Remarkable achievement. And I've gone to a website that lists world rankings, and up until the nationals, I would have to scroll down to find Kelsey's name. And now in the shot put, when I open up the page, I don't have to scroll down. She is now number 23 in the whole wide world in the shot put. And if you take out athletes who are older than 21 years of age, she is now number 3 in the world in shot put.
Holy mackerel. Wow. Tunde, Kelsey, if I could get your take on this, tell me a little bit about your experiences and how they relate back to your days at Carlinville High School. Tunde, let's start with you.
Oh, man. I want to thank, you know, in Carlinville, it was a small community. You had your niche group that you kind of hung out with. Just my experience, you know, single mom, she was always working. I was the oldest, had brother and sister, and just I kind of had to step up and kind of be there. And, you know, just being young, I had to be there for them. But I just, you know, I wouldn't be where I am today without the community support. And not everybody, I mean, not everybody's going to support. Some people don't even care about sports, but the people that did and the people in my circle, such as, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Jokic, you know, the Myers, the Paynes, the Lavoras, those guys that I kind of hung out with, that was my support group. And, you know, I thank God every day that Mr. Jokic was there, because my number one goal in life was I'm going to the military with everybody else. And my number two goal was, if that falls through, I'm going to be the postman, because all you do is walk around and deliver mail. Now
we're going to get letters from the postal office. People, okay?
Let me make it clear, though. I know several people that work at the U.S. Post Office, and that job is hard, man. Those guys work, you know, 6-7 days a week, 12, 13 hours. So, you know, thank God Mr. Jokic was there. He talked me into making sure I was eligible for the NCAA clearinghouse, kind of guided me. You know, he did a good job of, like, steering me without telling me what to do, because if he would have told me what to do, I would have been somewhere else. So that covert operation worked out pretty well. But, you know, it doesn't matter where you come from. It just matters, you know, who's in your corner, and how much work and how much sacrifice you're willing to put in. And Carlinville has been an excellent experience for me. And, you know, if I ever get time to come back, I love to come back there and see the people who really supported me. And, you know, if I can reach out and talk to the youth or give back in any way and reach one person, then I'm all for that.
Kelsey, how about you?
Oh, I have to completely agree with what Tunde said. Carlinville, like, it's a small town, but it has so many resources, and because it's a small town, it's easy to make connections with people that can help you, and I don't know, so, like, Mr. Jokic, like, I lucked out, and I got to meet him, and he kind of first showed me how to do shot put, and then he later on connected me with with the guy who was my coach all through high school, and so it's just little things like that where people know someone else that can help you, and things like that with a small town. And then I also lucked out because my parents always put us first, or us kids first, and so they always pushed me in sports, and, like, I mean, I didn't always like it at times, but as a kid, you always like the results you see. I mean, like, everybody likes winning, and so they taught me that, like, if I wanted to get that to the winning, I have to do all the extra stuff, and so, like, having that ingrained in me helps a lot, because, like, yes, the sports are fun, but if you really, really want to be on that elite level, you have to put the time in and do all of the extra stuff to get there. But it's all worth it.
Dave, go ahead, Tunde.
I was just going to say, I agree. I mean, there's different type of people who are, I want to win, 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 and then there's those people who are willing to take the steps to win, and that's all psychology right there. I mean, if you know, you go out to the football field and you get beat down, you need to look at yourself and say, what did I do? Or, you know, Kelsey didn't throw as far as she wanted to. She's going to internalize it, look at herself, and correct form. And just to touch really quick back on Carlinville, I've worked with a lot of coaches, you know, helped them out, seen a lot of different coaches. And I want to thank Mr. Jokic for taking the time to go ahead and get the research. I mean, he was always at some conference. We thought he was just on vacation, but it was actually educational. So we'll give him a high five for that. But I want to thank him for making the connections, like Kelsey said, but also getting the education through USA Track and Field and other seminars to help us execute our races much better and our throws much better. And when it comes down to the end goal, you can have two Tunde Ridleys side by side. If one knows the form and one doesn't, the one with the technical aspects is going to win. And I want to thank Mr. Jokic for taking that time out of his own own day to go out and get that education to help his athletes.
You're too kind, you two, but thank you.
Kelsey,
we can talk about some of the other stuff, too.
I wondered when the thrown baton bag was going to come into the conversation.
Yeah, you know, Dave's a German guy, right? He's got his blood.
100%, I'm afraid.
One morning, we're going out, and we're going to do relay changes. And, of course, Amit Chopra was there. He's an amazing athlete out of Carlinville, too. And we were going to, the whole purpose of the practice at 6 a.m. was to work on 4x1 relay exchanges. So we get out, we warmed up, we go out to the track, and we look around, and oops, we forgot the baton. So here comes Mr. Jokic around the corner, and you can tell, because he was red when he came. He came across red, so we were like, oh, crap, we're in trouble. So he comes around, he tries to throw the baton back at us, and he, I guess it stayed on his hand too long. And it just flew straight up in the air. It came down. So it was hilarious. It almost hit him. So it was pretty funny. So he tried to be the bad guy, but it ended up being a joke. And, you know,
and once
years later or whatever.
And once again, Tunde paid attention, because to the very last day, very last meet, if you looked around at people who were gathering up the equipment to put it away, Mr. Ridley had won 4 gold medals, and there he was rounding up equipment to help put it on the bus.
There you go. Kelsey, Tunde, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We could go on for hours and hours, but we want to move on. We want to talk to a young man who was a state champion last year at the IHSA state tournament, Jack Denby, and we thank you so much for joining us on Sports Saturday. You guys mean a lot to us, and hopefully we'll get together again and talk soon.
Well, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Have a
good day. Oh, great. Terrific. And good luck, Kelsey. Good luck, Tunde. And thanks for joining us. And we need to get to another break. Sports Saturday rolls on right after this.
It's summer, which means it's time for hot fun in the summertime. WSMI reminds you to stay cool and keep hydrated during the summer months. WSMI's Hot Fun in the Summertime brought to you in part by the Nokomis Savings Bank, where you save does make a difference. By the Macoupin County Garden Tour and Rural Electric Convenience Cooperative in Verdon.
Grow your own way.
From auto and home insurance to financial planning, from education to retirement, Country Financial doesn't want to make your decisions for you, just support them in the best way possible.
You can grow your own.
Just call my dad, Alan Pogenpohl, your country agent in Raymond.
And at 9:47, let's take a look at the weather forecast, brought to you this time by CarQuest. In Carlinville and Jacksonville, you'll find it at CarQuest. Sunny skies for today. We'll have a high of around 80 degrees. Mostly clear skies for tonight. We'll have a low of around 60 heading into Sunday. Sunny skies, expect highs once again of around 80 degrees. Extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies with a chance of showers on Thursday and Wednesday, on Tuesday and Wednesday. Expect the highs in the low 80s. The lows will be in the mid 60s. And at 9:47, we have a temperature reading of 74 degrees. The weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest. In Carlinville and Jacksonville, you'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues in just a moment.
Hello, I'm Melissa Van Giesen, certified licensed athletic trainer at Teamwork Rehab. If you have a sport-related injury, come see us at Teamwork Rehab. We provide athletic training services to all local area athletes, keeping them safe, healthy, and in the game. Teamwork Rehab offers free injury screening to all athletes and weekend warriors. Don't suffer with an injury. Give us a call at 532-4160 to make an appointment at one of our 3 convenient locations in Litchfield, Hillsboro, and Nokomis. Trust Teamwork Rehab, a division of Hillsboro Area Hospital, to get you back in the game.
Since 1899, 4 generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
And at 9:50, let's head back to more Sports Saturday for you. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Terry Tope, and David Jenkins.
Thank you very much, Tobin Ott, back on WSMI Sports Saturday, about 10 minutes away from the top of the hour. Coming up at 11 o'clock, we will be out live at the A&W restaurant in Litchfield. We will be there through the noon hour until 1 o'clock today on FM 106.
And Dave, Coach Jokic with us in studio today, and we hear this from coaches all the time. You keep it simple, you go back to the fundamentals, but the biggest challenge is between the ears, isn't it?
I have never told Kelsey that my master's degree at Illinois was in sports psychology, but when she was talking about some mental things that she has adopted previous to the Nationals, I was listening very closely.
Yeah. It's amazing how much sports psychology has worked its way into sports, not just at the professional level, collegiate level, even the high school level.
Yes. When you talk about the total aspects that an athlete needs to be capable of, part of that picture now is sports psychology, being able to perform under a pressure situation. It's not easy to do. I've been there. I've been on both sides. Felt the pressure get to me, sometimes felt situations where I had succeeded back in my many decades ago athletic career. So it's one significant aspect.
I thought your point was an interesting one with Kelsey at the Nationals earlier, having dealt with big crowds before playing other sports. Traditionally, track and field doesn't draw the big crowds until you get to the Olympic stage.
And even more so for a thrower, because typically even on the collegiate level, the throws are outside the stadium over in the corner. The only people you see are the relatives and the fellow competitors. And so all of a sudden when you're cast into the central focus of a competition, that's a whole new experience for the typical shot put.
And thrower. Kelsey talked about having basically tunnel vision. And how do you go about teaching a young athlete that, Dave? What's the process there?
There's techniques that sports psychology will teach and coach that takes you through mental play to create that tunnel vision. Some of it can be thinking through a successful performance, going back to a time in your career where you succeeded in a pressure situation. Well, simply the thought process of thinking through and re-imaging that successful performance is one way you can use sports psychology. Also, thinking through the kinesthetic movements, thinking through the movement of the performance prior to the competition is also another technique. And to tunnel vision, as Kelsey said, to take the extraneous out of and being able to go to those takes practice, just like shooting the free throw takes practice. You just don't say, okay, I'll try it now.
It's not snap of the fingers and it happens.
If it was, they'd all be doing it.
Well, we have a chance for another state great here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Jack Denby is joining us on the phone. Jack, where are you this morning, sir?
Doing great. Thanks for having me, guys.
And where are we? Where are you talking from this morning?
I'm in lovely Telluride, Colorado at the moment.
Ah, and what would you be up to out there?
Well, we're going to be doing some hiking and some whitewater rafting with the family.
Oh, so, that's great.
It'll be a pretty good time.
Jack is the state champion this past spring in the IHSA track and field meet in the pole vault competition and continues the great tradition of track and field at Carlinville High School. Take us a little bit through that championship weekend, Jack, and what it was like in the competition and ultimately winning.
Well, it was something else. It's something I've been working on for a long time. Coming into the prelims, basically the biggest concern was trying not to repeat what happened my junior year at the state meet, which was the heat really got to me and my poles, and it allowed them to not react in the normal way. It allowed them to be a little too soft and not recoil quite as quickly. So for the entire week building up into the state meet, we basically just jumped in the heat of the day trying to get used to the sort of heat that we'd be experiencing at the state meet.
And that's
when it came down to the prelims, we were ready, and we actually had to do some major changes just to be able to jump on the correct pole to get that first bar.
That was my question. Do you have to do some fast finagling every once in a while there at the state track and field meet, because maybe their conditions aren't exactly what you thought they were going to be.
Definitely. Well, most of it is the atmosphere. Jumping at a regional meet versus jumping at the state meet on fast track when it's really hot in the heat of the day, especially in the vault, just because your poles also react differently, just like the human body does. So it's just yet another variable that you have to account for whenever you're getting prepared for the meet.
And how many poles, Jack, do you take with me? How many poles are in that bag?
For one meet, I'll probably have 9 or 10.
And once you have the weather conditions pretty well nailed down, how many poles might you use in the same competition?
I'd say 3, maybe 4 of those 10.
And for a pole vault novice, whenever you change a pole, you're going to be changing the flexibility and the rebound strength of that pole, which affects your timing in terms of how long you lay back on the pole, when you start to come off the pole. I might mention that this year I thought Jack had a remarkably consistent year at pole vaulting. At 15 and 16 foot levels, it's common to have anywhere from a foot to a foot and a half difference in heights. And I'm not sure how many times Jack cleared 16 feet, but it was a remarkable number during his meet competition this spring. And when you're changing that many poles and changing the timing that often to be that consistent, I thought was a remarkable achievement.
Jack, are there times you pick up a pole and the field just isn't right?
Oh, man, you're preaching to every vaulter out there. It's something. We're, in my belief, the biggest head cases in track and field.
Well, Jack, that was going to be my question. How do you decide to be a pole vaulter? Because to me, it's one of the craziest things that a person could decide to do. I'm going to voluntarily vault myself 16 feet into the air.
Well, you make it sound like it's crazy. I saw my brother do it, Andy, whenever he was in high school, and I must have been in fifth grade, so I hadn't started my middle school track yet. And when I got into middle school, I was a distance runner. I ran cross country. I was real small, real skinny, and I could run really far. Well, I quickly learned that I would rather do anything than run many, many miles.
So there's a little brain power at work here. That's what you're saying.
Oh, my goodness. And I started vaulting, and it was so much more fun. I'm like, why can't I just do this? This is so much more fun than running. Running's hard.
Let me ask a different question. If there was the tallest roller coaster in the world, would you go on it?
No.
No. Well, 16 foot's a pretty tall roller coaster.
Ironically, I'm terrified of heights.
How about that?
But it's the people who are terrified of those things that overcome those things that make great athletes.
Well, yeah, I hope so. But, I mean, it's a weird thing. I've talked to a few vaulters who are just afraid of heights. I don't get it. But I think the difference is whenever I'm on the runway, I feel like I'm in control. Versus on a really high roller coaster, I'm not in control. I don't like it.
Good answer.
Yeah. That's great.
Jack, I'm just curious, what if anything, is going through your mind when you're at the top getting ready to cross over the bar?
Well, whenever I'm on the runway getting ready for any jump, whether it be the 16-3 jump or the 16-foot jump at the state meet or just a 15-foot one at CHS, I have the ability to think of one, maybe two things, just two aspects of the jump before I initiate it. Whether that be getting off the pole faster at the top or whether it be driving bigger at the bottom. Whenever I'm coming off the top, that was one of the things I really worked on this year, and I knew that if I could come off the top, we call it cleaner or tighter, just staying closer to my pole the entire time as to not get too much room to knock the bar off. It gave me a lot more room. So, I mean, whenever I'm back at the end of the runway, I have one or two things I can think of. And a lot of it this year was dedicated to coming off the top a little bit cleaner.
There's so many different aspects of physics and all this that has to be put together in order for that vault to be just perfect enough to get you over the bar. And you don't have to clear it by much, but you have to clear it by enough.
Mm-hmm. It was once compared to me as 30 switches that get a correct vault, or to get a perfect vault, you have to flip them all in the right order at the exact correct time. And if you don't, then the vault may be ruined or it might be okay. It just might not be perfect. And, I don't think there's ever been a perfect vault. And it's really weird. The physics about it, it's so strange because the bar moves forward and backward, a fun change. And then each pull that you have, we're talking the degree of takeoff, the flex of the pull, the length of the pull, and the swing, the arc of your swing at takeoff, and how many milliseconds you're driving on the pull before you start your initial swing upward. There's a lot to it, and it's just like any other, man. It just takes practice.
And as in any other sport or any other sort of competition, you're trying to remember to do all these things, but you're trying not to think about these things. It's because it could drive you mad if you you're running down, getting ready to vault, and you're trying to remember all these little things. It could drive you crazy.
Well, that's when it comes into practice and muscle memory and just really, really working on your craft. And whenever I'm on the runway, I'm only thinking about the one or two things because the rest of my vault is just in memory. I can do it with my eyes closed. As a matter of fact, I've had a video of me whenever my entire vault went through and I didn't have my eyes open. It's just muscle memory.
Part of creating that memory in your practice experience involved a lot of travel with your dad to the Peoria area. You belong to a vault club. Can you talk about those travels, the fact that your dad was one of the key coaches in your career?
Well, yeah, since I was late my eighth grade year, I started traveling up to Bloomington Normal to jump with the Flying Dragon. And obviously at that point in time, I didn't have my license, so my dad would get off work at 5:01, and we'd be on the road by 5:02. And we would drive up to Bloomington Normal three nights a week. So that's a two-hour drive there, two-hour drive back, just to get some practices in. And this was all through the winter, all through the early spring, and then whenever we didn't have meets, all through the spring. And that was really what gave me the opportunity to elevate from jumping 8.6 to jumping 16.7, and then hopefully 17+. But it was really, it's a lot of hours on the road. It's not something that's necessarily that enjoyable, but it's the price you pay.
And some interesting conversations along the way with Dad, I suspect.
Yeah, it's been a good bonding experience. Basically, we've had a lot of hours in the car talking about anything from sports to politics. Anything and everything has been talked about. It's a lot of time in the car.
You probably weren't able to listen to Tunde's interview on the radio, but his phone conversation came from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Does that have any special meaning for you?
Maybe a little bit. Can't wait to be there in the fall. I'm actually really excited.
And, of course, we're talking about Wake Forest University, where Jack will be the new pole vaulter.
That is incredible. That is incredible. I bet you're really looking forward to that, Jack.
Definitely. I'm finally at a place where I feel like I'm comfortable and I can just go and be a student and then just work on my vaulting. And hopefully it'll make an easy adjustment to the ACC. I'm very happy with my decision.
Talk about the process of going through that, getting recruited, deciding on a school, a D1 school.
Well, it was kind of a rocky road. Whenever I was a freshman, my parents' alma mater, Millikan University, came to watch me. And that was a big deal for me. That was really cool. That was my best that year, ended up being 13 feet. And then my dad actually told him that he enjoyed his time at Milken, but he didn't want me to go to Milken. He said he wanted me to leave and go experience something new. So by the time I was a sophomore, early in the year, I jumped 14 feet 7. And then my coach up in Bloomington started getting calls from Coach Toby Stoons in Stanford University when I was a sophomore and said that he wanted weekly updates on how I was jumping. Well, for me being a little homebody sophomore, this kind of freaked me out. This is getting into sports psychology aspect. I wasn't jumping to go to a D1 school. I was jumping because I loved it. And that really freaked me out. So for the rest of the year, it seemed, I refused to, like, subconsciously allow myself to jump higher than 14 feet 6. Because, and if you actually look back at the records, I jumped 14 or 14.6 every meet. It was just, I wouldn't allow myself to jump higher because I was terrified of going all the way out to California. So we had to address that. So eventually the recruiting with Stanford kind of fell through because I stopped jumping well. And then that was really sad for me. That was something I did love Stanford. I loved everything about it, but it scared me. I was only a sophomore. I mean, I had just turned 16. So then we go into my junior year, which is the big year for the recruiting. And it was relatively quiet until I jumped 15-6 at the indoor state meet. And then it kind of exploded, and I started talking to, I went to Cal. I went to Stanford again. I went to Illinois, Dartmouth. And then I came into my senior year and went to Duke and Wake Forest. And I've been recruited by Wisconsin. It really started getting a lot heavier into it. So coming into my senior year, I knew I kind of had to start narrowing down my school. And my top three ended up being, at the time, Duke, Wisconsin, and Dartmouth. And something fell through with the Duke coach, who actually ended up just choosing another vaulter over me. And then Dartmouth just didn't quite have enough. So I committed verbally to the University of Wisconsin because I absolutely loved the program that Coach Davis had up there. I talked to Kelsey about it. She showed me around when I was there. It was great. Really liked it. But after the winter going into the spring, I really wasn't excited about the prospect of going up to Madison, a really big city, and Wisconsin, a really big school. So I was freaked out once again. I found myself there. I jumped 16 feet 6 inches, and I was really not excited to go to a city that big. So I knew that I had many options at this point. It was late in the game, but I still had a 16.6 PR. I placed second at the national meet in New York City. I'm like, okay, let's figure this out. My dad and I compiled a list of schools that were really strong in the business department, maybe in a little warmer weather in the Division I, and naturally we came across Wake Forest. I called Coach Sullivan. I think it was on a Monday. And then that next, must have been Friday, I was on the plane heading to Winston-Salem. And by that Sunday, I told them that I was in. I was going to come to Wake Forest.
And you just had that feeling. Like you said, it just felt right for you, so you knew.
It was the moment I got on campus, I knew that I wanted to be there. But by the time I left campus, I was 110% sure I wanted to be there. It was right, and it felt right, and it is right, and I'm excited. Got a lot of great things coming. We're trying to build up the program. I'm really excited about what Coach Sullivan's bringing to the table. I think it'll really work out.
And you'll probably be getting over there in a couple of short weeks, will you not?
Yeah, I don't have to head out until the 20th of August, I believe. So
very
I don't
nice.
Have to go any earlier. Say what?
Well, the fact that Winston-Salem and Wake Forest is hosting the National Masters Track Competition also tells me that Wake Forest is on their way up. When they start hosting national meets, that's one of the ways of getting the word out that we're trying to change things and move the program in an upward level. So I think you're in on the ground floor of a program that's only going to go up.
Well, I like those. So they've really been investing heavily in the vault and track and field. They have a beautiful indoor facility, awesome outdoor facility, and they're redoing practically everything this summer as we speak. The weight room, every the academic facilities for the athletes, there's just been a lot of funds dumped into this program, really trying to recreate it. Historically have been on the lower echelon of the ACC, but I think they're really working their way up. They've been recruiting people very hard. And looking at my soon-to-be teammates, I'm really excited about what we can accomplish.
We're talking with Jack Denby, who is the reigning state champion in the IHSA pole vault competition, headed for Wake Forest. Jack, in talking with Kelsey, did she give you some sort of a background or indication what to expect at the college level? Were you able to draw upon her experience?
Now, fortunately, I've been in my club. I have a lot of vaulters who have gone to the Division I level. And then back home, I've had the Viano family, Kelsey. I don't know Babatunde because he's significantly older than me. But so being around these guys a lot who are all going through the transition into the Division I level, it was kind of nice. I know Kelsey and I at one point had talked about how much harder it was at the Division I level, but she didn't seem to be having too much difficulty her freshman year, breaking the school record within a few weeks. I don't think she struggled too much adjusting to the harder competition. So hopefully we'll find the same result.
Well, it's been an exciting year for you, my friend, and we're looking forward to great things. And we have a very proud Dave Jokic who's sitting here, and he, of course, has been involved in the track program and has been kind of a mentor for so many over the years at Carlinville. And you're just one of those state greats, as we like to call you, from Carlinville High School. Yeah, and I'm kind of impressed, Jack, to be honest with you, that you like the smaller town, the smaller campus type atmosphere. I just think that's kind of neat.
Well, I mean, Wake Forest is a smaller Division I school. I mean, it's still a Division I school.
Sure.
It's like Duke and Dartmouth sized. It's got, 6,000 undergraduate students versus Wisconsin, I can't remember, 20-something thousand undergrads, maybe even more. And coming from Carlinville, that's just, it's something I wasn't ready to deal with. I'm perfectly fine going to a school that doesn't have 40,000 students. And it's the difference between Winston-Salem and Madison was Wake Forest isn't in Winston-Salem. Winston-Salem is a town of 250,000 as well, like Madison. But it's Wake Forest is just outside. So, I mean, the difference of being in a large university that is in the middle of the city versus being a smaller university outside of a major city, it made all the difference for me. It made me feel like I was comfortable on campus, but still having the prospect to do whatever I want to do at a major city.
Yeah. Well, Jack, we wish you the very best, my friend. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your morning. We certainly appreciate you joining us here on WSMI, and we wish you well in your endeavors at Wake Forest.
Thank you very much. And congratulations, Coach Jokic. You're the man.
Okay. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Jack Denby joining us, and Dave, of course, I wanted to make sure and get you in, and some of the other guys have taken off only because of other assignments they have to get to. But first off, congratulations to your induction into the Hall of Fame. You certainly deserve it, my friend.
Thank you. I still remember where I was at when I received the call, and I just kind of sat numb for a while. I'm very proud of being inducted into that group.
Yeah. When you think about what you've accomplished over the years, you put in a lot of hours for not a whole lot of money. You do it because you love it and you love kids. And when you get to see the success that these young people have, and we've talked with Jack, we've talked with Tunde and Kelsey, but there are a lot of other athletes that have benefited through other programs, and it's not just track, it's all other endeavors. You have to be sort of proud.
I have told people that everyone upon retirement should be inducted into a Hall of Fame. What's happened because of that is getting feedback from people that you haven't heard from for a while. And so, yes, that's when you really feel proud, because all of a sudden there's somebody that you hadn't seen or heard from. In fact, even non-athlete, I had an email from a fellow in Chicago who is an accountant who I had in my algebra classroom back in the 70s.
Oh, wow.
Did not coach him.
Really?
But he said, congratulations. He saw it in the Chicago Tribune. And he said, you were my first to give me a sense of the fact that I could handle mathematics, and I ended up being an accountant, and maybe it's kind of started with you. So the Hall of Fame is wonderful, probably because of the feedback you get from a variety of sources.
And we, from time to time, talk about how in high school athletics in Illinois, the educational aspect of athletics, it's just a different part of education, a different classroom.
Dare I get on my soapbox for just
go
a
right
bit.
Ahead, sir.
Sports and the fine arts celebrate the human endeavor, human achievement. What's happened in the world, in Ukraine, in the Middle East, is the antithesis of that. It's the exact opposite. It's the degradation of human life and its value. Sports and fine arts bring the value of human endeavor up to as high as any form of life there is. And I would tell community people, remember that when it comes to funding sports and fine arts. Remember that when it comes to supporting sports and fine arts. Yes, there you can find excess going a little bit too far, but the basic fundamental of celebrating human life and the endeavors that they are pursuing, not only as a participant but as a fan, helps balance out what's taking place in the rest of the world. I'll get off my soapbox.
No, I totally agree with you, my friend. It's, you know, it's an important aspect of the whole package. We want to make, you know, we hope for our kids, and just having become a grandfather last weekend, you know, I hope for little Jake to grow up in a time where he is able to take advantage of, you know, if he's interested in sports or music or art or whatever, that just makes the person more whole, and that's what it's all about.
And school districts are in for a tough stretch.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And it's going to take some school boards and some community people outside of the school board to maintain those quote extracurricular activities, and I just talked about what value they have for the human experience.
So, Dave, what keeps you busy now, sir? Well, you planned a 4th of July celebration at Garlandville, I know.
Yes, that kept me awfully busy.
It went over pretty well, I suspect.
Very good entertainment. I told the people I got greedy and chose the groups that I enjoy the best, but they were very good entertainers. We had a number of different free public experiences that were done quite well. We didn't have the turnout we wanted. When you start a July 4th festival, you're bucking tradition, you're bucking family activities that have long been in place. So the attendance was far from what we wanted, but received lots of compliments. And I've got a big 5-acre yard to maintain, and I've expanded my gardening. And I still keep looking at my bass boat that I haven't hit in the water yet. And so that's in my game plan now.
Well, my friend, you're always welcome to join us on the sports show. I count it as a privilege to have you in here today. And just tickled to be able to talk to Kelsey Card and Tunde Ridley and Jack Denby, and know that they've been associated with a great program. And they're endeavoring to pursue greater heights, and it's all tied together, and you're a part of it. And thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Dave Yokas joining us here on Sports Saturday. Hope you enjoyed our extra stoppage time here on Sports Saturday, but we felt it was well worthwhile. That brings us to about 19 minutes after 10, WSMI-FM, Litchfield Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.